Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Appropriate time to have this guy on the day before Thanksgiving, because trust me, it's more to the story we do with our main man, James White. Brother White, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Now, I've got to begin by saying there's a part of me that wish I was on earlier this week, because I do not appreciate how you all went after K-Mac and our team out Washington.
Thank you.
You went after him. Good. I couldn't believe it, K-Mac.
Best I went at him hard.
All because you were right, K-Mac.
I know. See, Brother White, I really do appreciate you coming on, recognizing that, and you know, and standing up for me. I mean, I'll be 3 days late, but I mean, standing up for me. because I knew they would be upset about the resurgence in the momentum
that's been gained by our Washington football team.
I knew they would be upset about it, because this is how you know, Brother White, when people are just really upset. They stoop to name calling. They stoop to record bashing, you know. They stoop to those lengths just to try to prove their point and diminish our accomplishments. But that's okay, Brother White. I'm all right. I stand on this hill alone, but I stand on it with you too, my brother. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. But let me just say this morning, there are times when a camera doesn't give clarity. How is it that we could all watch the same event by on a camera and have different confused opinions? The LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart incident, it's been a top story, and it's been confusing. We replay it over and over again, and yet we still have different opinions. Who started the event? Was it LeBron or was it Isaiah? Does it matter? There's got to be more to the story. We're blaming Isaiah Stewart. And we've even said that, once again, he didn't hit LeBron when he had the opportunity. Well, I'm going to answer the question as to why possibly he didn't hit LeBron. We got to remember, Isaiah Stewart was born in 2001. LeBron was on the cover of Sports. He was born 2001.
Wow.
Isaiah Stewart was born 2001. Here's what that means. That means he was born when LeBron James was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, representing St. Vincent. And LeBron enters into the NBA in 2003 when Stewart is 3 years old. Here's what that means. His brain has registered LeBron James as an icon. He grew up with the story of the player that would become king. Yes, why would Isaiah Stewart react the way he reacted? Well, it was blood that he was dealing with. However, Isaiah Stewart was battling what all top performing athletes have to battle, that natural instinct of the brain to engage with aggression. Now, let me get this out of the way. Out of control, aggression behavior is in every high performing person, not just black athletes. Because if we call Bobby Knight an animal when he tossed the chair, how many tennis players have been aggressive even before Serena Williams? And there's two types of aggression. There's instrumental aggression and there's hostile aggression. And instrumental aggression is what every high-performing athlete needs. But there's a thin line that you've got to train. You know, even MRI studies let us know, neurosciences let us know, that the rate at which the prefrontal cortex, which really controls impulsive behavior, that it doesn't fully develop in women until age 21. It doesn't develop in men to age 25. That's right. Isaiah Stewart's only 20 years old. There's still a level of development as to possibly why he was out of control. But let's be glad that there wasn't a fight, because we know from on-camera fights are never good. When Kermit Washington broke the jaw of Ruby Tomjanovich, it was a long time ago. It wasn't good. When Kareem Abdul-Jabbar punched Kent Benson, it wasn't good. When Larry Bird went after Bill Laimbeer, it wasn't good. When Larry Bird went after Dr. J, which is crazy, it wasn't good.
I remember that.
And when Reggie Miller and Michael Jordan got into it, in Reggie Miller's house, he gets ejected. Michael scores 45 points. It wasn't good. Cameras don't always give us the clarity that we need. How is it that in 1991 a jury could acquit police officers after we saw on camera them beating Rodney King? How is it that Eric Garner could be choked to death for selling cigarettes and the officer would only receive the loss of 2 vacation days? Why were we waiting with bated breath when we saw on camera, again, George Floyd being murdered? Ahmaud Arbery, why are we waiting, fearful, as to what the verdict will be? And it's all on tape. And then we also saw on tape Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old, again, with an assault rifle in the midst of a protest. And we really think his brain was fully developed and he's now a hero? Listen, no wonder we're confused about this fight. We're wondering, why was it started? Could Isaiah Stewart and LeBron James have just kept control? Not sure, but we need to remember one thing. Even when there's a camera, there's always more to the story.
Wow.
Say that again.
What
are the two types of aggression again, Brother White?
Yeah, good question came back.
Yeah, there's instrumental aggression, which every athlete has to develop, because you all know this. We know this from football. We know this from any other sport. You need aggression.
That's
but
right,
then you got to keep that under control, because then there's hostile aggression as to when it goes beyond what is necessary. But that's why every athlete has intensity. So there's no surprise about that.
All right.
Wow. My man. Man, I love this. Brother White, thank you so much. As you can know, as people always tell me, and I'm getting texts right now, you did it again, brother.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
So the Quartz football playoff ranking was out, came out yesterday. Yeah. And K-Mac, I have to tell you, this is the first time that our beloved Crimson Tide has dropped in the rankings after winning the game. We won on Saturday.
It's your fault.
So, if for the top five
you
rankings,
on Monday, you did this.
I think I'm right about it. I knew it was going to drop because
I'm wrong. I'm wrong about it. So that's why I'm going to just admit I was wrong.
Oh wow! Well, hold that thought, because I want to make sure we kind of highlight that, because that's a rare occurrence. So I'm going to make sure that we get that. But UGA, Georgia is number one according to the College Football Playoff Ranking Committee. The Ohio State is number two. The University of Alabama and Tuscaloosa, Roll Damn Tide, number three.
Damn Tide.
Cincinnati, which you was complaining about them earlier on too, but I got receipts on this one, kid, man. They're number four. And Michigan is coming at number
five.
Yeah, I think this is all about people. I guess they thought we should have beat Arkansas by 100 points or something. Arkansas is the SEC. Hell, these are real teams we're playing. But apparently, Ohio State was more impressed by beating Michigan State because they was ranked in the top seven or whatever. So maybe that had a lot to do with it.
So I was harsh. I was short-sighted. I made the statement out of emotion. And didn't think it all the way through.
Okay.
When I said Cincinnati didn't deserve to be in the top 10, let alone be considered to be in the top four.
Right.
I was wrong. I was wrong. I thought it was just a mere weird concoction of scheduling some talent on the team. And just playing some teams that just weren't that good, that made it look good. And I was wrong. They are pretty good. But let me tell you what I'm not wrong about. They do not belong in the top four of the country, though. I'm just telling you that right now. Okay? Now, I know a lot of you thought I was going to go in and be like, oh, they're the best, they're the good. No, I'm not. They don't belong in that conversation. And if you put them in the college football playoffs, they will get embarrassed. And everybody's going to be looking around trying to figure out what happened. And I'm telling you, you got all emotional because you think you're looking at something that it ain't what you're looking at. If Arkansas plays Cincinnati, who you think they gonna run away with against Arkansas?
No.
Exactly.
I mean, I will admit that Cincinnati is not.
I mean, not as bad as I said they were. You're right.
Well, yeah, they're not. But I'm looking at Bama, number three, Cincinnati, number four. So you saying Cincinnati is right there with Bama? No. Hell no.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Look who they're above. Michigan.
Yeah, but you know.
But think about it. Is that what we're trying? Is that the story? Is that the narrative we're weaving at this point? The Bearcats are better than who? Michigan?
The Wolverines. But K-Mac, but you know, I'm not. I mean, give another team other than Michigan. I mean.
Okay.
Yo, Michigan.
Yeah. Michigan State.
No, well, we already found out about them. They were down by 49 points in the first quarter.
Against?
against this team here. And that's it. Gary Barter talks about on why Ohio State, who played so well against Michigan State last weekend, why they are ranked higher than Alabama. Let's take a listen. I'm still upset about, but that's it.
You started it on Monday. You put that.
I know, but now because I'm a realist, K-Mac. My head's not up in the clouds like yours are sometimes.
The power of life and death manifestation is in the power of the tongue.
Two great teams, both Ohio State and Alabama. Both of them have Heisman Trophy candidates at quarterback.
See, that's another thing.
And this past week, though, the dominating win over Michigan State certainly got the committee's attention. The offense of Ohio State just with total domination, and defense playing much better. And they've been playing better week after week. They now they beat Penn State, they beat Purdue. Alabama's still a great football team. Have a wonderful win against Ole Miss. The last few weeks, not showing as much domination on defense.
That was shame.
So two great teams, but when the vote came down, Ohio State came ahead of Alabama.
He threw shade right there. Like, oh, they had a real key win against Ole Miss. Like, that's on the win that we, you know, he was throwing shade with that one. I think so.
Here's a question, man.
What's that?
What did we do to y'all? Like all of y'all. What did the University of Alabama, you know who they are. The University of Alabama Tuscaloosa, the capstone of higher education, the reigning, defending, and the winning of the national college football program over the last decade and a half, led by the one and only Nicholas G. Saban. What did we do to you for you to dislike us this much? What did we do?
All we do is win, no matter what, and people start hating us because of that.
We're not cheating.
That's the real reason, K-Man.
You know what I mean? We are single-handedly feeding the next generation of the NFL. And you're mad at us?
that's a fair statement right there, Matt.
Right? What are we doing?
Yeah.
We're graduating players. We're putting great people in. I mean, look at this. We're starting to put quarterbacks out. Mac Jones and others. Look, I mean, what?
Yeah.
What did we do to you?
We were wide receiver you, now we quarterback you. So.
What did we do?
Mac, we make all this fuss because we dropped one spot in the ranking.
I know, right? But it's the way we drop. It's the way we drop. That's what I'm saying.
And why we drop. Matter of fact, let's hear from David Pollack, who talks about how Ohio State, they earned a number two spot over Alabama. Let's take
a listen. Oh, my God.
I think Ohio State's earned the right to be number two, especially
whatever.
We know about the high-flying offense, but I think it's been the consistency of their defense now for weeks on end. Michigan State, we talked about Michigan State a week ago. We knew they struggled defensively, but they're a good offense. And they had receivers. They have, Thorne's been good all year long. Ohio State made them look bad. I mean, it was over before our show ended, which was amazing because our show ended at 12:05. So it was over pretty quick.
You know what? I've come to the realization.
That was funny. What?
Ohio. So we're the sibling that we do it all right. We make our beds up. We'll never get in trouble in school. We do our homework. I mean, we had a great grades, always great. We do all our chores. We do everything without even they being asked. Ohio State took the trash out one damn day. One day. And now we all got to go, you know, celebrate and have a party. What? Really?
Yeah, I'm with
they got it right
I'm
one time.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Come on. It's okay. I see what we have to do. I see what we have to
well,
do.
Well, first, and we're going to talk about it a little later. Let's make sure we beat Auburn this weekend. Then we got a number one team next week.
Number one.
We got a number one team next weekend anyway. That's so right. We'll see what's up.
Yeah. Oh, then it'll be, oh, the greatness of Nick Saban.
I'm like, stop it. That's, no, hey, are you going to fall in love with us again? Mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh, don't come okay. Over. You got to look across the street. They got a shiny car over there. Go on over there and hang out with them.
Yep. Stay on over
we know who we are.
Matter of fact, hell, move Cincy on up one more spot. Hell, just go ahead. Moving on one more.
Speaking of the spot, after last weekend, Wake Forest dropped to number 18. But and NC State comes in at number 20. Okay.
Nice.
And Clemson. Nice. Tigers are back in the top 25 at number 23.
If Clemson, so let's just play this smaller narrative out. Clemson did not lose that game against NC State. Would they be at 18? Probably.
15. Yeah, because they lost. Yeah, because the real game they lost was off the jump when they lost to Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is okay.
Labor Day weekend. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's okay.
Oh, that's okay because Georgia's number one
team. You see, Georgia, they haven't moved.
No. No, not at all. So that's interesting. You're right about that.
So that one stumble, I don't know. We all said it when it happened that it ruined their chances of being in the conversation this year. But now look at how much it really did ruin it.
Yeah. And what we got to talk to Lauren Brownlow about, I mean, I think they still have an outside chance of winning the ACC.
ACC, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. And we probably talked to her about that on the other side as well. But, yeah, it's interesting. But K-Man, I love this time of year because you've got the SEC championship next weekend, the ACC championship next weekend. I mean, I just love this time of year because this is when the rubber meets the road.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Uh-oh. I see. Yeah. I see how it is now. I see what we're doing, Reese. Mm-hmm. It is hump day. If you ain't humping, you ain't trying, people. It's the day before. Reese, I got a question for you about your potato salad.
Okay.
Mustard? Mayo? I mean, which one? Which one is? Are you mustard based?
I'm clearly mustard based because mayo is not one of my favorite. I mean, I include it because I have to, not because I want to.
Okay.
Okay.
Because if you look up Southern potato salad recipes,
yes.
Once you get past your picture.
I got you. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I'm just saying, I've got a few of them that come up. It just makes me wonder. I don't know. Well, welcome back to the Sports Shot. Reese and K-Mac, man. We got a lot going on. We got tons of stuff going on today. It is the day before Turkey Day, and that's what I'm going to call it, the day before Turkey Day. Tons of football. We get a chance to watch football all day. We get a chance to watch basketball tomorrow. That's all we get to do. So it'd be tons of that going on. We got tons of that. Casey, do we have poll question for today? Casey not talking to me.
Well, maybe JoJo.
Did I hurt his feelings when I said something about what's the name of that damn college up there in Asheville?
Warren Wilson.
Did he go to Warren Wilson? He looked like an Asheville guy.
He
looked like an Asheville guy. He spent a little time in the mountains.
Living off the earth. That kind of guy.
Why you gotta be living off the earth?
My KC, are you where are you?
What is that? What is living off the earth? What is going on? He said living off
you
the earth.
You know, you live off the earth. You know, they just have a commercial, you know, eat wild hickory nuts and stuff like that. And, you know, stop, stuff like that.
Stop. Stop. Just stop, what? Man.
Oh, just okay. Stop. Just but it's the day before Thanksgiving. No, I'm already into the holiday season, if you know what I mean.
So we got, you what? I stocked up yesterday. As new arrivals come in.
I know. Hey, I got some new arrivals too, by the way. Yeah, just FYI. Some new stuff. And by the way, I kind of figure out, me and D. Woods, we kind of figure out what you was talking about this turkey thing. I didn't know that was an air fryer big enough to put a big turkey in, unless you're going to cut it up.
It's actually an infrared. It's actually an infrared fryer, which is air fryer. Which is an air fryer.
Oh, okay. It's large enough to put a turkey in it.
Yep. It's large enough to put. It's a large cylinder.
Okay.
And it's large enough to put a turkey in. So essentially,
look at you trying to be all fancy. Look at you trying to be all fancy and stuff.
What? Yep. What are you doing?
Fancy, huh? You fancy.
I try to get your boy. I tried to get your boy Gresh to come on over. He won't do it. He wants to stay old school. There's something wrong with you old school cats, man. Y'all got to come on over, man.
Yeah, he's traditional. He like it, black and white, straight down the middle. That's what Gresh is.
Yeah.
Man.
But see, you know what, though? Once he gets a slice of this one, without all the reason out, he'll come on over.
Okay, well, you got to update on that one, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. Since you're trying something new this time. Okay.
You know what? Actually, it's new to everybody else. He's not new to me. So,
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, I wouldn't roll it out if I didn't already have it done. You already know that.
Okay, there you go.
But hey, we get a chance to talk to this young lady each and every Wednesday, and the day is no different just because it's the day before Turkey Day. We get a chance to talk to the one and only Lauren Brownlow. What's up, Brownlow?
Hey, y'all. What's going on?
Well, we're just preparing our dishes for tomorrow. Getting ready.
Yeah.
You know, getting ready. What about you? I'm sure you going to your mom and dad's. You're going to
we're hosting. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
We're hosting and my husband's doing most of the cooking. So
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for the best for everyone involved. But I'm trying to cover him where I can. You know, I'm trying to do what I can to make his life easier. But it's for the best that I'm not too near the stove for important dishes. So, now.
So Brownlow, you telling me we put you on paper plates and ice?
yeah, or rolls. You want me to toast the rolls?
Yeah, rolls. Yeah, there you go.
Yep, set the table. It's all important. Hey, and listen, somebody's got to buy the food. So
there you go.
Yes.
That part.
Yeah, all of those things are absolutely true. So, yes, you know, to make sure it's an enjoyable experience, someone has to set the table, someone has to get the ice, someone has to get the cups, all of that. You're exactly right.
Also, the alcohol. So I was in charge of buying that.
That's the most important part of the entire day.
See, everybody, the cook at Thanksgiving is like the quarterback, you know. They get too much credit.
Talk to
you
me.
You still got to have the offensive lineman in there to do the dirty work.
The guys in the trenches. You got to have the guys in the trenches doing the dirty work.
What's the name of that award? The Outland Award? What is it again?
The Outland Trophy. Yeah. The Outland Trophy.
See, the Outland Trophy winners are the real Heisman Trophy winners, you know. But nobody pays attention to that. Right. So anyway,
I mean, this could be Brownlow, a year, probably not for the offensive lineman, but it could be a year where, you know, a non-quarterback at least gets some Heisman love. Just say it.
Wow. Nice. That just made the quarterback so weak.
Well, I mean, to be honest, if we were being fair, I mean, we love Bryce Young. And I mean, really? Then the guy from Ohio State, like, really? Seriously? I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, so are you punishing Bryce for playing on Alabama?
Y'all's, speaking of O-lines, what happened to y'all? Y'all always have like an unreal one. I was seeing some pass protection numbers the other day. I was like, that's not Alabama. You're making that up. And it was.
Yeah. This is one of these funny kind of years, you know. It's just.
I mean, it happens. You would think. I just didn't know it was capable of happening to y'all still. I thought the only position Alabama missed on was kicker, ever.
And here's the crazy part about it. This year, we got a kicker.
I know.
Offensive lines.
Last couple years, y'all had good kicker.
And this will be the last time we focus on kickers again. Now, we use two good scholarships on damn kickers when we should have had them on offensive guards. See the difference?
Listen, you don't really think that after all that you've seen with kickers in Alabama. I don't think you really think that.
Right.
I think that.
So
I don't think it's wasted.
Speaking of, we're kind of complaining here earlier, LB, about the college football rankings that came out yesterday. The fact that we dropped, and it's all about the eye test, because the Ohio State played so well and beat Michigan State, so they kind of jumped us in the standings because we didn't beat Arkansas by 50 points. I mean, really? I mean, I don't get that.
I mean, look,
what you mean
comparatively
well?
Speaking.
What do you mean well?
They jumped them for me, too.
What?
I know. It's just, I'm not punishing. I think it'll work itself out. Like, the thing is, y'all are going to get Georgia at some point. So, like, you'll have plenty of opportunities to build that resume. God, that sounds so condescending to say to Alabama.
Right?
I realize how it sounds as I'm saying it. And I'm like, oh, y'all have opportunity to prove yourself. Like, as if, yeah, whatever. But no, I mean, you know.
What is going on?
They got to... They do have like a slightly better. Well, I don't know if that's a better loss right now with how Oregon's looking, but you know, they similar loss profiles, I guess. And Ohio State, I think it's hard because they started out the season looking so rough. I mean, they were ready to fire their defensive coordinator, you know, like
right.
And
that's right.
And it's just like they've gotten it together on both sides of the ball, frankly, and they're starting to look more like juggernaut Ohio State that we're used to seeing. So there's probably some recency bias there too. But I'm checking scores on Saturday. I had a wedding this past Saturday. I'm checking scores and I'm looking at the Ohio State and I'm like, that's the second quarter? No. Like, man.
Yeah, I know.
Come
I know.
On.
I had that
like,
same.
That's
I had that
pretty
same
unreal.
Like, 49-0. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Who does that? Yeah.
Y'all usually. That's the thing. So that's part of it. They're like, wait, Alabama's not beating people by 50, and Ohio State is. Okay. You know, it's really an homage if you think about it.
Okay. That is.
Well, you. Okay. So I had to. You know. Contort myself earlier in the show to say I was wrong.
Uh-oh.
And since it,
what?
Well, it's the Cincinnati thing, right? I haven't been able to.
Hey, I was wrong too. I did not think that they would make it into the top four at any point this season, and I did not think it would be this week. I was surprised.
I knew they would make it in the top four because people like Reese and others were out there early on talking about the road to victory, you know, moving around electoral votes on a big map, trying to figure out how to get Cincinnati into the conversation. So, and they did a great job. And now here we are.
Yeah.
And now everybody's looking at them. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, who goes there instead? You put Notre Dame there instead?
Yes.
Yeah. That's.
See.
Yes.
And not me. And I thought I thought that the committee would, you know, I really did. I thought this was the week that they were gonna, in spite of the head to head, have Notre Dame jump them. But if you look at, you know, if it's close, you probably got to go to head to head, right? And then if you look at Notre Dame, they are playing better. But I don't know that you would look at who they've beaten in recent weeks and go, oh, yeah, there's some real good wins in there. Virginia's probably their best win in the last couple weeks here.
I mean,
so,
yeah.
It's not Notre Dame's fault, right? But their schedule didn't end up quite being what it usually is. USC's looking kind of rough. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not, Navy's not as competitive as they are half the time. Like, there's a lot of issues with their schedule right now. And then, the best game on their resume right now is probably that loss to Cincinnati, to be honest with you. So if that's their best game on their resume, Cincy's got to go ahead of them.
We're talking Lauren Brownlow, Rock LB, each and every Hump Day, same place, same time. And just FYI, the committee, they put Cincinnati there just solely for entertainment purposes. They know at the end of the day, they're not going to be there. They know this.
No.
They know this.
Well, I saw speculation that actually they want him to get in as a four seed so that Georgia beats him down or something like that. And I'm just like, because that'll prove somehow they don't belong or something. And I'm like, no, that's not.
No,
it's like just, Notre Dame, no offense to the Irish, but they get in there, get blasted a lot. Like, they're still getting an invite. So why are we pretending that, that they would have any leg to stand on, right? If they were like, well, they got blasted, so they don't deserve to be here. I mean,
we've all
seen the last couple of years. Like,
that's true. I think she's right about that when came back. That's funny.
They get in there and get blasted a lot.
Well, that's an equal opportunity thing, you know. That's not a G5 there you go. Versus P5 or whatever you want to call it. Ohio State didn't score a point in it for a hot minute there. Like, you know, they went years without even scoring. So, like, I'm just saying, I don't know that anybody could, with a straight face, look at, like, a result that happened in a one-off game with Cincy and whomever and go, oh, well, now no more G5 teams get invited? Like, I don't buy that argument. I'm more with y'all. Like, I tend to think that they just won't. They'll find a way to not have them in. Like, they're not getting in. But this is a way of seeing, like, see, we had them in our top four. They just weren't able to do, I don't know, make something up.
I got two quick questions. I'm trying to see I got one. Okay, I asked this question. The game means more to NC State or UNC this Friday.
Ooh.
Well, I think it has to mean more to NC State, because if they don't win it, they don't even have an opportunity to get to Saturday and see what Wake does. You know what I mean? So I think, because if they get to Saturday and if Wake loses, you know, that's it. And State takes the Atlantic. You know, that's all. But they have to win. If they don't win, obviously that's moot. But if they win, they're still in the conversation. So you just got to figure out. I was talking to a friend yesterday that will remain anonymous. You got to figure out which way State's heartbreak is likelier to play out. Is it that it gets ripped, the Band-Aid gets ripped off on Friday? Yep. Or is it likelier that they win that game? They should win that game, you know?
Right.
And then get to Saturday and have Wake, you know, make it a moot point. So I don't know. I don't know what's likelier, but either way, they just feel whichever way the heartbreak wheel spins, one of those is happening.
But would you think that for Carolina purposes, I mean, this would put them at a 7-win season and beating NC State, that made their season right there by winning this game?
I mean, would we say that it made it, though? Like, that's the thing. The one thing I would say, the rest of it still happened, you know? And so, I will say this. I know it's important to Mack Brown. He views state championships. I'm using the air quotes that I know I need to do, or else I'll have my mentions fill up, you know. That stuff's important to him. Honestly, like, they've lost some disappointing ones since Mack's come back. But they have done pretty well, especially the last couple of years, against in-state teams. And so, you know, that they take pride in that. They want to be good against in-state teams. And I think they also want to be good on the road. Like, I think it's important to Mack and to that program to see them take positive steps forward. But, like, we can't say it's more important to them, because they got nothing at stake, really, right now.
Right. Okay. Fair. Okay.
So, man, understanding this. And this just kind of let it all play out, I guess, you know, at the end of the day. But would you say this is, during Dave Doran's tenure, his best team and possibly his best chance to win an ACC title?
I tend to think, yeah, I mean, it's up there. I think, all things considered, right, like, they've had some good offensive teams under Dave Doran, but maybe the defense wasn't quite what you wanted it to be. And then sometimes you've had the other way around and the quarterback play wasn't what you want it to be. This is probably the most balanced team he's had in that perspective, you know, since he's been here. And yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's sort of built up after last year and what they were able to do and kind of surprise some folks. And he's just you know, kind of built it forward into this year. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's up there in terms of his better teams. I think that's why it's so frustrating for State fans. You know, it's like they beat Clemson. They did what they were supposed to do. And they're still, you know, because they couldn't quite get it done against Wake, they still find themselves here, you know. And maybe you can even point to the Miami game, and not even the Wake.
There
game,
you know go. What I mean? There like, you go. Let's not even put Wake in there. Handle that business. Yeah. But anyway, okay, all right, we'll find out. Last LeBron Lowe for me is you are a Panthers fan.
Yes.
This week, are you a sad Panthers fan or are you a Panthers fan?
I'm closer to a Panthers fan than I have been, you know, in a while.
Okay.
Cam being back is exciting, and he played well, and I'd love to see. I'm withholding a little bit of judgment on Joe Brady, you know, I'm in the Joe Brady Cam Newton combination till I can see him for another week and see how they do. And, you know, it's exciting, and I just wish that, you know, I don't know how you watch that game on Sunday and you don't look at it and go, okay, wow, Ron Rivera comes back in here and coaches circles around Matt Rhule. They fired Ron Rivera to upgrade, you know, to Matt Rhule in theory. But, I mean, I don't – at best,
no.
It's lateral.
No.
You know?
I mean, lateral move at best.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, he got coached – they got coached circles around. And, like, to be fair, obviously a lot of former Panthers on that team and on their staff, it's not like they don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they have a lot of inside info, so to speak. So I get right. it. But at the same time, they got coach circles around. And a lot of the same issues I had during Rivera's time are still things, you know, under Matt Rhule. Like the silly penalties, like the timeouts. Let's just burn
the timeouts
in the first 5
exactly.
minutes of each
exactly.
half. That makes sense. You won't need those. Got to save that 5 yards on delay of game. I want to throw something every time they do that. I hate it.
She's absolutely
that is right there.
That was horrible. And they were dealing with a limited playbook with Cam, seeing that Joe Brady,
sure.
seeing that he's only been there for a week and a half. So,
So I want to give him some more time and see how it looks after a week to maybe you open things up a little more. I know Cam threw well on yards, on throws of 10 or more yards. So maybe you can open it up a little more and go downfield a little bit more.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes store.